thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's the best way to get in touch with the program. Just hit us up there, and I will try to respond accordingly. Let's go to the phones here. Joining us on the line now, running for the Republican gubernatorial nomination here in Alabama, Lou Burdette joins us on the line. Lou, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. Well, let's kick it off here. Let's talk how is the campaign going for you to this point?
It's amazing. You know, traveling this state is such an honor. And people tell me from corner to corner, top to bottom, Lou, we are so ready for change and we're ready for something different. And I'm that person.
Yeah, you know, people may not be familiar with you. Just, Lou, you know, we haven't had you on in a little bit, but kind of walk us through your story and tell us a little bit about yourself one more time.
I just say, you know, I'm a common sense business person. You know, spent my career with a real job in the real world my whole life, over 40 years in running business organizations, 13 years at Books A Million, worked my way up to be chief operating officer, so I know how to run big business, manage a big team, big budget, multi-million dollar budget, and grow jobs, 250 to over 3,000 while I was at Books A Million. And then, you know, I ran a small business and didn't survive the aftermath of 9/11. And so I know what it feels like to lose a small business. And then the last 19 years, just the honor of a lifetime, running King's Home, a nonprofit in Central Alabama area, helping abused youth and moms and kids. You know, again, just taking common sense business principles like I've done my whole life to make things better everywhere I've ever been.
Yeah, you know, just kind of bringing that business philosophy to government. But, I mean, it's tough sometimes to implement. Government kind of is its an entity into itself, right, that it is not efficient. It doesn't really respond. It's not nimble. It can be tough. I mean, I look at the struggles for President Trump when he was president. But you're governor. What do you do? How do you, as a chief executive of a state, what do you do to improve the situation right out of the box?
Be a strong leader. Let's just look at what Ron DeSantis does in Florida. He's always out front. When do we ever have that in Alabama? That's the template I'm going to take to Montgomery. Be a strong voice. Be a strong leader. Appoint like-minded, world-class folks to important positions, cabinet positions, you know, that want to get things done. Not political appointees, not political cronies like what we always get in Montgomery. And work for change. You know, not accept, because, Jeff, we always hear, we say, you know, well, it's just the way it's always been in Alabama. Well, I just reject that. It doesn't have to be that way in Alabama. We have great people. We have a great state. Let's move this state forward and work for change.
Well, and you know, it's been a real low bar for governors in this state over the last, I don't know, we'll see, one, two, three decades. End of the George Wallace era, Guy Hunt, that didn't end well. You know, we could talk about Siegelman, Governor Bentley. The governors have had their struggles historically in Alabama. You know, kind of, obviously, Kay Ivey is what she is, but a lot of people would say, well, at least she hasn't embarrassed the state. I mean, how do you respond to that? Does that seem like it's a low threshold, a low benchmark to a low bar for governors?
Yeah. Well, why aren't we out front taking bold positions, being a courageous leader, leading the nation and not holding our finger up in the air and saying, okay, which way is the wind blowing today? Oh, I can't make this group mad over here. I owe them. Oh, I can't make that group mad over there. I owe them. You know, this system of political payoffs and favors and influence in Montgomery's got to end. That's why I'm fighting corruption. You know, I just think we have a corrupt environment in Montgomery. We're the fourth most politically corrupt state in the nation because of the things you just outlined. And that's why I'm limiting campaign contributions, because, you know, I said from day one, we got to restore trust in Montgomery and just follow the money. And we're one of five states that allows unlimited campaign contributions, and it's just wrong. It buys favor, it buys influence, and that's why I'm limiting my campaign contributions to $10,000. And people said, Lou, you're crazy, because it's not a level playing field. But you got to walk the walk, right, Jeff?
Yeah, well, any corruption. Let's talk about that. You brought it up. You know, that's a fairly serious charge to say that your state government is corrupt. Walk us through that. Where do you see these areas of corruption that need to be cleaned up?
It's just follow the money. You know, I mean, just take for instance the gas tax. You know, the current governor never campaigned on raising gas taxes 56%. Never debated. You know, not campaigning this time with other gubernatorial candidates. We were all in Coleman last night, and everybody's wondering where the governor was, and she hadn't shown up for any of them. Didn't debate in 18, is not going to debate this time, it doesn't seem like, and never shows up for any of these events. And a strong leader is out front. And when she raised gas taxes 56%, she never campaigned on it, never debated on it, and it was a political payoff. It was a political favor to a specific group, and that's the way Montgomery has been our entire lifetime, and it's just got to stop. And we've got to stop the flow of money and the influence of lobbyists in Montgomery and work for change.
Joined by Lou Burdette, running for governor here in Alabama. Your thoughts on this legislative session? Well, we could talk about the whole quadrennium for that matter. The complaint I always hear is, you know, it's not a liberal body. It's not a liberal legislature. They're not passing a bunch of woke legislation, but it's not exactly conservative either, right? My assessment is it tends to be a little more a pro big business, country clubish, you know, almost elitist in some way. But that there's been some glimpses there of conservatism and can have a conservative priorities, but everything from education to some of the tax cuts, you know, what is your assessment of the current Alabama legislature?
I was dumbfounded yesterday by the governor saying that, you know, her biggest disappointment is not getting the gambling bill passed. I mean, is she really that out of touch that that's her biggest disappointment? And again, just follow the money, because gambling industry is pouring millions into Montgomery to influence gambling legislation to get it passed. And that's her biggest disappointment. You know, why is not her biggest disappointment being 52nd in math, dead last? You know, just like you just said, why aren't we, you know, when I'm traveling this state every day from sun up to sundown and beyond, you know, people tell me that the biggest thing on their minds and what they tell me everywhere they go is education. Lou, we're last in education. That's what I've been pounding my whole time running for governor, is we have to have education as the number one issue, not this year, not next year, but for decades to come, until we get it right and get us out of the bottom. And that's what we don't see in Montgomery. Because without better education, we can't have better jobs.
Well, it appears to me they're trying, or this may not be an acceptable solution, but I mean, they passed a literacy act. Now they're pausing some of that, the reading requirement for third graders. But then they got this numeracy act thing where they're hiring coaches to teach math, teachers to teach math. It's kind of a strange,
complete sham,
kind of a strange concept or whatever. But where do you start? I mean, since Republicans have taken control in 2011, of all the branches of government, I mean, really, when you look at where education has gone, the trend's not been good.
Yeah, and again, just look to Florida. You know, the first thing DeSantis did was rip out Common Core in Florida. They were 26. You know, we're 47. Florida was 26. He ripped out Common Core. He started working for change in education, common sense stuff. And where are they now? You know, they're third. that's the first thing that's got to go. Common Core's got to go. We got to teach the truth. We got to, you know, we got to eliminate CRT, SEL, all those things that we're teaching our kids, and get back to the basics. Just teach them basic math, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, it's not that hard. That's how we were all raised and grew up. But we have all these influences in Montgomery, pushed down by NEA, that AEA just falls right in line with. And those are the kinds of changes that we have to make in education, along with budgeting right. We can't have 93% earmarking. We need dual enrollment in our high schools all across the state, because it works so well in the schools where they do have it. And beef up our community colleges so that our kids, when they're dual enrolled in high school, they're ready to advance their career in high tech kinds of jobs, even electricians, plumbers, HVAC technicians, jobs like that, that community colleges are so well prepared to help us with. Let's put the resources there to help Alabama. Every kid doesn't need to go to a 4-year college, right? And we do have to have literacy programs that work. And I've been doing that for 19 years at Kingsland. We have a tutor in every home every day to get our kids, 80 kids at any given time. We've served thousands over the last 19 years while I've been at King's Home, to help them get caught up in school. Let's don't hold them back. Let's get them caught up in school. Literacy programs that work, that will get kids caught up. You know, I was meeting with Tommy Battle, and he said, we got 4,000 jobs at Mazda, and the application's written at a third and fourth grade reading level, and we can't fill those positions because we can't get enough qualified applicants to fill out the application. How heartbreaking is that? $50,000 or $60,000 a year jobs, great paying jobs. You know, we got to get education right in this state.
And some of the other things that the legislature did this last session, I think they salvaged a lot of the Quadrennium, to be honest with you, on that last day, with these transgender the transgender prohibition on transgender therapy prohibition, the bathroom bill, and the parental rights thing that their opponents call it "Don't Say Gay," but that at least I guess is something for conservatives to hang their hat on. But other than that, I mean, you know, how do you work with those guys across the street if you're governor, and get them to be more conservative or look at, you know, school choice or more of these conservative priorities?
Right. You know, and we do get very frustrated, you know, because we haven't seen, as true conservatives, which I am, we're supposed to stand for less taxes and less government. When do we ever get that out of Montgomery? Just look at the last 3 years. Our budget has skyrocketed, spending increased over 30%, you know, and the COVID relief money, $770 million that we got, we're getting another billion. We got almost $2 billion surplus in our budget. We're in good shape, you know, financially. Then why aren't we giving some of that money back to help all Alabamians, putting money back in Alabamians' pocket? Why didn't we put a moratorium on the gas tax or repeal the gas tax, you know, when they had an opportunity to do that? We never heard a conversation like that. Why aren't we rolling back grocery tax? We're only one of 13 states that still has a grocery tax. That could help all Alabamians, put money back in all Alabamians' pockets. We never have those kinds of conversations about less government and less taxes. You know, that's my disappointment in this session. And sure, we're going to stand up for Alabama values and the things that we hold dear. And, you know, you can't change a person's DNA. You know, we are born male and female. And so I'm glad that we are standing up to protect male and females with things like in the locker room kinds of situations, in the bathroom kinds of situations, because you just can't change your DNA. So, you know, I'm glad that we passed some of those kinds of things to preserve Alabama values.
Hey, Lou, we're up against a break here, but folks want to find out more about your campaign. They want to check you out online, social media, any of those places. Tell where they can look.
Lewin22.com. Check me out. I'm on all the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And, Jeff, I just appreciate so much you having me on today. Check me out, Lewin22.com.
Lou Burdett, ladies and gentlemen. Lou, thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Love being on.
Lou Burdett, 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything we are talking about this morning, including that candidate right there. But that's the best way to do so on the text line. Just a couple of texts to get to here. Kay Ivey, not an embarrassment to the state. Have you seen her commercials? A named texter. I think those commercials work for her. We have a lot of people don't pay attention to this stuff like we do. Very casually pay attention to it. We can get more into that later in the program. You want to stick around for that. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to running on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.